But we are in this study asking this question, how are we saved, okay? And this goes back to, we jump way ahead, goes back and we began with the story of the Philippian jailer asking that question when realizing that his fate, in a sense, had been sealed because of the earthquake and the prisoners and so forth. He asked that question, what must I do to be saved? And the fact is that people are still asking that question today. Even with all the stuff that's going on in the world, people still are asking. They want to know, what do I need to do in order to be saved? The problem is that there are too many people out there that are telling folks the wrong thing. They're giving them the wrong answer. They're not telling them everything that they need to do. They're giving them an incomplete picture. And what happens is oftentimes, and I think we've got a whole lot of folks out here that have a false sense of spiritual security because they believe what somebody told them when they didn't tell them the truth. So part of what we're doing with this study is trying to help us to make sure we understand what does the Bible tell us about what people have to do to be saved so that we can teach people properly. The idea of believe only, all you have to do is believe and say the sinner's prayer, is totally and completely wrong. And this is that area, as I mentioned a moment ago, where so many people are being led astray because they think that they've been saved and they really have not. Okay? Now, it is not enough to just simply believe that God exists and say a prayer and ask Him to come into your heart. The Bible says so much more. And there's so much more involved in that. There are a lot of things, several things, that are involved in us being saved. Okay? Unfortunately, even for us in the churches of Christ, we have reduced, okay, salvation down to a five-step plan. Okay? And we emphasize and focus on the steps. You go through all the steps, you get to the top, then you're saved. And I think, unfortunately, we've been teaching that. Now, are there steps? Yes, but I think we've been teaching that in such a wrong way to lead people to think, as long as I get up to the top of the steps, I'm okay. There's, again, so much more involved in us being saved than just following several steps. Okay? So the question, how are we saved? What we're doing in this study is looking at what role do these several things play in our salvation, right? And we're looking at all these various aspects. At what role do they play in a person being saved, all right? Again, reminding you that all of those things are important. You cannot eliminate any of them, and none is more important than any other. And again, that's something that so many are doing today. They're emphasizing one thing over the others. For instance, for us in the churches of Christ, we emphasize baptism. We just got to get them in the water. Once we get them in the water, then everything's fine. Well, that's not right, you say. Again, there's more to it. Is baptism important? Is it necessary? Absolutely. But it's not the only thing. Just like believing is not the only thing, you say. So none of them is more or less important than any of the others. And here's the other thing I'm trying to do in this study. If we can go back and understand how folks in the first century understood each of these different roles or the different words that are used in descriptions and so forth, if we can understand how they understood those things, then we know much better about why these things are important, and we can then teach people the importance of these things in a much better and more appropriate way. Okay? Because I think that one of the reasons that people are not teaching correctly is because they don't understand the significance of these things. And again, how did people in the first century, how did they understand these things? Okay, so that's part of what we are doing. What must I do to be saved? All right, today we're talking about the role of confession. Okay, now confession is one of those things that we oftentimes don't really talk about. Yeah, it's in the steps, okay? But we don't emphasize that a whole lot. And I think, again, it's because we don't really understand the role that confession plays. What is it really all about? When we understand that, then we will begin to understand why is it so important. So let's talk about the role of confession in one's salvation. And we start out with, as I mentioned a moment ago, understanding how did the people in the first century understand when you talked about confessing Christ, when you talked about confessing, how did they understand that? Well, let's go back to the original language, okay? And we begin with the word that is used there is homologio, and it means literally to speak the same thing, all right? Now, the word homos means the same, all right? And the word lego, to speak, so thus to speak the same thing. It also means, and they understood it this way, to assert or accord or be in accord with or agree with someone. All right? There were three specific uses for this word in the New Testament. All right? The first one is that it meant to confess or to declare or to admit something. Okay? The second, to confess by way of admitting oneself guilty of what one is accused of, the result of inward conviction. So that use of the word is what we typically think of when we think of confessing something. It's like, okay, fess up, right? If you mess up, fess up, right? That's typically what we think of when we think of confession, right? You go to someone and you confess your sins. They understood it that way, that use of the word. And the third one is to declare openly by way of speaking out freely. Such confession being the effect of deep conviction of facts. So this is the idea of basically saying, yes, I accept this, I believe this, I understand this to be true, and I declare openly that I'm participating in this. All right? So in the first century, when they used the word confess, these are the ways that they understood it. Okay? Now, let's go to the next one. I'm not getting any. Can you advance that for me, Derek? Okay. Let's talk about making a claim for a moment, okay? Because when we talk about confession, that's part of what we are actually doing. How many of you have ever experienced losing your luggage on a flight somewhere? Anybody? Okay, so you know the problems that you encounter when your baggage gets lost, right? Tommy and I, on one of our trips over to Ukraine, our flight out of Richmond was delayed because of really, really bad storms. But they assured us our connecting flight in Boston was not going to be a problem. By the time we got to Boston, our flight had left. So we had to get another flight. By the time we got to London, our flight to Ukraine, to Kyiv, had already left. So we were there at the ticket counter, there in the airport in London, talking to the lady about getting a new flight. And discussing our different options. And she says, I have a flight that is leaving in 1 hour, and it will go here and there and there and there and there and to Kyiv. We said, okay, what's the other option? She says, well, I have a flight leaving at such and such time in the morning. We can put you up in a hotel, and you can leave in the morning and go to flight directly to Kyiv from here. I went, hey, that sounds really great to me. And I asked her, I said, and by the way, where would our luggage be? And I'll never forget this. She looked straight at me and she said, sir, I have no idea. I mean, at least she was honest, right? Our baggage got there before we did, but it took them a while to find it. We got it about 2 days after we got to Kyiv. They actually delivered to us. But, you know, we have those experiences, okay? But here's one of the things. If you've ever had that experience, you go to the lost baggage claim place, and what do you have to do? You have to describe your bags. Okay, what do they look like? What size are they? What color are they? Are there any specific markings on them that identify? So, in other words, what you have to do is kind of like this guy, okay, who everybody knows what kind of baggage he has, right? It looks like this. And you've got to, in other words, they want to make sure that the bag that you're claiming actually belongs to you. So you have to make a claim for that. And here's what you're doing. You're proclaiming your association to that bag. Okay? That bag belongs to me. It is mine. It's my bag. Okay? Here's something to consider. Jesus is in the lost and found department. Okay? He specializes in finding lost people. Okay? And that has to do with this whole confession thing, because here's what happens. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, here's one of the things we got to keep in mind. I mentioned this a few moments ago. Does that mean that's the only thing that someone has to do in order to be saved? He says, you confess Jesus with your mouth, all you have to do is do that and you're saved? No. It's just one of the things that the Bible tells us that we need to do. Okay? This particular thing plays a very important role in our salvation. And what is that role? Well, at least in part, it's making a claim. Okay? What does that mean? Well, you're first of all claiming Jesus as your Lord. Okay? And secondly, what you're doing is you are proclaiming your association to Jesus. That's what confessing Jesus as Lord really refers to. You are proclaiming, you are claiming your association to Jesus. It's kind of like you ever had, you know, you got a friend and you introduce them to someone else and you say, this is my friend Tom. Okay? I'm proclaiming my association with him. Now, I told you about on our trip from back from Ukraine when we got the first class seats and they went to Tommy as we're getting settled in first class, and the guy went to Tommy and said, sir, we've made a big mistake. And I said, I don't know this guy. I'm not with him. You see, I didn't want to be associated because I thought they were going to make us both move. They make him move, that's fine, but I want to stay right where I am, you see. But if that's the idea, is that we are making an association with Jesus. We're claiming him, okay, in a relationship. And that's why confessing Jesus with our mouth is so important, okay. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, as was read a few moments ago, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? You call on the name of the Lord. We talked about that in our last time. Let's talk about the words. Okay? You see, the words in and of themselves are not what saves a person. When he says, if you confess Jesus with your mouth, okay, it's not the specific words that are the point, and the words themselves that save a person. All right? It is that we are saved by us giving our life in submission to Jesus. We are associating ourselves to him. Okay? We are making a claim that we belong to him, or that we are in a relationship with him. Okay? In other words, go back to the definitions that we've talked about a few moments ago. In the Greek, what they mean, what we're doing is we're saying you assent to and you are in accord and you agree with Jesus and everything that he stands for. Okay? It further says you declare openly by way of speaking out freely. You're speaking out freely. Such confession being the effect of deep conviction of facts. You are convinced of the fact that Jesus died for you. And you're speaking out in that conviction publicly to people, letting them know, not ashamed, to let people know that you belong and are associated with Jesus. Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in his first letter, told him, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you, look at this, made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, when you acknowledged your association with Jesus. Okay? In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pilate made the good confession. Okay? Jesus himself made a good confession about the truth of who he was. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, Paul wrote this, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. So you see, another part of this confession, okay, is confessing the gospel, telling people the good news. And the best way that I know that we do that, okay, is to tell people your story. Tell people how you are associated with Jesus and what that has meant for your life. That's confessing Jesus. You're sharing the good news. Okay? We confess Jesus as our Lord and confess his truth to others. That's what confession is about here. Okay? Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I want people to know that. All right? So we yell it from the rooftops or from wherever, okay, to tell people of our association with Jesus. But here's something we need to keep in mind. I call this I will if you will. And this is what Jesus has to say about confession. All right? Whoever acknowledges, or some translations use the word confess, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Okay? The NIV and the ESV use the word acknowledge there. Okay? Again, other translations use the word confess. And that word is from the word gnosko, meaning to know. That I will acknowledge, I know this person. Okay? To recognize a thing to be what it really is, or to acknowledge that thing or person. That's what the word means. Okay? So again, look at the text. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. One of the scariest things I think that anybody will ever hear is on the day of judgment when they stand before God and they hear Jesus say, I don't know you. As he warns us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And he's talking there about people who are religious people, people who are doing all kinds of good things in his name, but they're not living in obedience to the Father. And he says, I will say to them on that day, I never knew you. Okay? Deny. And that's what Jesus would do to those who don't own him. To deny by way of disowning a person, as, again, the example here, the Lord Jesus as master of my life. Okay? Understand what Jesus is saying here. This is so vitally important to understanding the role of confession, all right? He's saying, if you claim me as your Lord, if you confess me as your Lord, I will claim you as mine before my Father. Okay? In other words, he's saying, we have an association, and I will claim that association between you and I for all of eternity. But if you disown me before men, you don't confess me, you don't claim me, okay, then I will disown you before my Father. Okay? I don't know this man you're talking about. Peter made that statement, didn't he? Okay? You see, that's the denial. The great thing about Peter was that he went out and he repented of that denial, that disassociation, and the Lord forgave him. Okay? But you understand that that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about confessing Jesus. Okay? If you claim Jesus as your Lord, then he will claim you as belonging to him. It's that simple. Okay? He says this, you are mine. And what the greatest thing that anyone could ever hear on the day of judgment is that right there. You are mine. You say, you are mine. So, this requires a response to God. Okay? What do we do with it? And so I ask the question, okay, do you need to confess Jesus? Okay. Do you need to make clear your association with him and all that he stands for and all of his truth? Have you done that? Now again, we kind of typically, you know, when we're teaching someone the steps to salvation, we kind of run through that, okay? But that's why I want to spend some time on it to make sure you think about it in the terms that we've just discussed. Have you done that? See, to me, it's kind of like baptism. We had a lot of people that got baptized, but really all they did was got wet because someone told them they need to get baptized, and they go, okay, well, I'll get baptized. And I think confession is much the same way. You know, somebody said, yeah, Jesus is Lord, but were they really making a claim to Jesus as their Lord? See? There's a big difference between, yeah, Jesus is my Lord, that's kind of like the sinner's prayer, and acknowledging your association with Jesus freely and purposefully. How do we do that? How do we make that claim? All right? I confess that Jesus is Lord of my life. I claim him as my Lord. That's really what we're talking about here. That's the role of confession. Okay? And so I offer the opportunity for anyone who, Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you became a Christian. You did all the steps. But in looking at and understanding this, that you realize and go, yeah, but I never have really associated myself in the way that we're talking about here. I've never really made that claim to Jesus the way that I know I should. You have the opportunity to do that. And no, that doesn't mean you have to get baptized again or anything like that. It's just realizing that, yes, I need to make sure that I know and that Jesus knows and even that other people know that he is mine and I am his. So for those that are here, if there's anyone here who needs to do that, you have the opportunity to do so. And for anyone who's worshiping with us online this morning, If you have not confessed Jesus as Lord of your life, you've not given your life to Him in association as Him being Lord over you and your life, then I urge you to do so. If you're not yet a Christian, you haven't given your life to Christ yet, you can do that. Okay? You can do that. Anyone that is here that hasn't done that can do that right now. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if there's someone out there who desires to become a Christian, all you got to do is contact us and let us know, and we will make that work out for you as soon as is possible. We'll have the phone numbers of two of our elders, Dale and Wes, on the screen while the songs are being sung. All you got to do is text them and let them know, and we'll make that happen as soon as possible. Anyone here that has a need this morning, a prayer request, or whatever we can help you with, Tom has a song that he's chosen to use as an invitation song, and we're going to stand and sing that song. And if we can serve you in any way, all you got to do is let me know. Come up and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone who would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. Wesley, you're going to be up front here, okay? And Ray will be right over here. You can come and talk to him also. Let's stand together and sing. Tom, come on up.